This morning we're looking at this very short passage in the Gospel of Matthew. If you've got your Bible open, this is Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 to 42, and it's entitled An Eye for an Eye. But this morning my title is The Extra Mile. Thank you, Mark, if you just want to pop up that first screen for me. The Extra Mile. I reckon that over this last year or two, I've spoken an awful lot about the grace of God. No apologies for that. It's a great thing to preach on. We certainly covered it for a few weeks when we were looking at the five solas celebrating the Reformation 500 years ago. And we looked at grace alone and faith alone and Christ alone and the Word of God alone and all those things, really, really wonderful things. And we recall that particular point that Luther wanted us to focus on, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, by grace. And so the Apostle Paul, he's someone, you know, he's written half the New Testament. He had a glowing testimony. He was saved in a remarkable way. God used him to write over half of the New Testament. And he writes a lot about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us, that's a hugely important theme. And on one occasion, these are the words that he penned. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were, but as God's people sinned more and more, emphasis, but as God's people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more, we want to say, more and more abundant. So however great sin is or becomes in someone's life, God's grace can become even more, even greater. So both as a contrasted side by side, really easy to pick that up. But there were some people, and you always get one, don't you? Some people, and they did the mathematics their way, and they reached all the wrong conclusion. Have you ever reached the wrong conclusion about something? See, you're reading something in the Bible and you think, oh, it must mean this. And later on you discover, no, that's not what it means at all. Well, they reached the wrong conclusion, namely, that if we sin more, it suggests in some sort of silly kind of way that God will give us more of his grace. And so a couple of verses after this verse I've just quoted, Romans chapter 5, when you get to chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, Paul counters this mad mathematics with this verse. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Now, I know we make mistakes, and I know we've prayed the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of others, and we need to keep doing that. But our longing is to serve God. Many, many years ago, in fact, it's probably many, many, many years ago, when I was at college, back 81 to 85, I did New Testament Greek in those 4 years. The Wenham Greek New Testament book was never far from me. I was always looking at it, trying my best to understand it. And our teacher, who was then a Mrs. Jackson, who taught classical Greek at Manchester University, she would come on site to campus for just those few number of people who were in her the Greek class, New Testament Greek class. And this was one of the phrases that she just loved. You know, she loved Greek. You know, she ate, drank, and slept Greek. It was just, she just got into her system. No wonder she taught it at university. And she was such a lovely lady. And she loved the phrase here in this passage, me genoito is the phrase. And whenever she would say that or something like that, there would be this wry smile that just came upon her face. And you know she was going to come out with something. And she says, it means no way. No way. No way, Jose. Absolutely not. And she had this big smile upon her face. That's why I've never forgotten it. You know, sometimes if you do something really crazy, I mean, you tell someone something, they're never going to forget it. And I've never forgotten the way she said that, this smile upon her face that it meant, no way. It was Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones who said, it is precisely because we are under grace that we uphold the law of God. Sometimes we get this idea, law, that's, forget about that, that doesn't matter, we're under grace now. No, when we're under grace, we uphold the law. And he says, we're not under law in the sense that it will condemn us, because we have Christ as our advocate. But this is what he said. We are meant to live it, that is the law, and to, we are even meant to go beyond it, further, more and more. And the New Testament confirms that Jesus kept the law perfectly when no one else could, when we could not. And now, by that same grace of his, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we keep the spirit of the law by his love in us. That's how we do it. And this morning, I want to show you how it's done. I want to tell you how we can do this. A verse for this morning is verse 41. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Words of Jesus Christ. And this little cluster of teaching. In the King James Version, if you remember that, of course, it says, go the extra mile. Go the extra mile. And it simply meant, go further. Go further. Can you always go a little bit further? You know, whatever you're doing, can you just a little bit more? Can you do that? There are three examples here in this passage. You've got your Bible open, verse 38. We'll just look at those couple of verses. Three examples of how we should respond to things. Some people have read this and thought, that doesn't really mean that. It can't mean that. Let's have a look. How about, how should we respond to these things? Namely, verse 39, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. Not easy to do. Someone slaps you in the cheek, you probably want to ask, why did you do that? Or maybe even some people may want to strike them back. But to turn your other cheek is to go further. It's to go further. And then in verse 40, someone is about to sue you and take the very shirt off your back, and Jesus said, let them have your cloak as well. Go further. And the third example is the one that we're looking at this morning in verse 41. It's a reference to the Roman military occupation force during that time in Palestine, in the time of Judah, where a Roman soldier could require, by law, that someone standing nearby could carry his load for the distance of 1 mile. That was the law. And after that, you got that 1 mile, you could, I don't know if you were able to throw it down or not, but you put it in the ground, walked away. They couldn't ask you to do any more. But a Roman soldier had the right to do that. And then Jesus said, if a Roman soldier asked you to carry his load for 1 mile, carry it 2. Go further. Go further. Of course, they're all shockers in these verses, aren't they? I think they're designed to shock us into reality of what Christianity is all about. And just in case it helps for us to understand exactly what is being said here. Verse 39, I've got it up for you here. But I tell you, Jesus said, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And I've got a feeling that sometimes I do want to resist evil. I don't want to stand up against it. So I was sort of battling with this, you know, what does it really mean? Did he really mean that? And I think it might be very helpful to hear the translation in the context, okay, in the context, saying this, do not render evil for evil. It's just a slight bit different from that. Do not resist an evil person. Do not render evil for evil. That is, do not resist in the same manner of violence and threat that someone has resisted you. So do not render evil for evil, but go the extra mile. Turn the other cheek. Go further. And so it follows that if we obey this advice, and it's also a line in the prayer that we prayed together a few moments ago, by the way, the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from the evil one. Our response must not be a devilish one to anyone. It must be a godly one. And sometimes that means standing up and saying, this is wrong. You shouldn't have done that. So then what you've got here is one assault is an evil one. The next one is a legal case, and the person has obviously done something wrong because the law courts are involved. Wonder what he did. We don't know. It doesn't tell us what he did, or she, or whatever. We don't know. But if the law courts say, hey, you've got to give him your shirt, well, you're taking your shirt off, give him your cloak as well. You've got to go further. If you've wronged someone, you've got to put it right. And if you want to make sure it's right, make sure it's really right. Just go further. Just go further. It's making amends. I was on the Board of Governors this last weekend at college, and it was something that someone had said, and this person said, a Christian pays his or her debts. We may not be able to do it overnight. We may not be able to do it in a year, but we're going to pay our debts because God is no man's debtor and we want to be like him. And so we've got to put things right. We've got to make things right. And you've got to go the extra mile. The third assault is our main focus this morning, which is the equivalent of being press-ganged into military service for the enemy that you don't like for a limited and temporary period or distance of 1 mile. 1 mile. Anything come to mind? Do you remember when Jesus, you know, on the night of which he was betrayed and we broke communion, and that night he didn't get any sleep. He was arrested in the garden. He was taken into a law court. They kept him up all night interrogating him. They said he was worthy of death. They convicted him. He was taken away to be scourged. He then had to carry his own cross, or at least this huge beam, the cross beam, and he had to carry it and carry it and carry it until finally he was so exhausted he fell to the ground and he couldn't carry it any longer. And there's a Roman soldier standing over here and he wasn't going to carry it. So just over here, a man called Simon of Cyrene, you probably didn't know the guy's name, he says, you carry it. Got to carry it for 1 mile. So Simon picks up the cross because Jesus couldn't do it any longer and the soldier wasn't going to do it. And he carries this and he brings it to Golgotha where they nailed Jesus to the cross. All he had to do was to carry 1 mile and then he could set it down and walk away. But the grace spoken of here, which is alien to our worldly, to any worldly kingdom, is very, very different. It goes further. In our Christianity, we go further. In fact, we go twice as far. We go the extra mile. And it doesn't just go further, but it also goes deeper. Much deeper. It goes deeper because it is unexpected. Jesus was always doing the unexpected thing. When he did something, people stood back aghast. Did he really do that? And I'm not just talking about the miracles, but his attitude to people, his response to situations and the things that he said. When you do the expected thing, and I don't mean this in a bad way, so what? Okay? When you do the expected thing, so what? When, I think Jesus said this, didn't he? When you love those who love you, so what? Isn't that just a normal thing? It's a nice to do, but isn't that normal? And I know Christmas is coming up, but when you give gifts to people who give gifts to you, big deal. I don't want to take anything away from Christmas. We love doing that. But isn't it just something when you can just go that bit deeper, do the unexpected thing? And I know that over Christmas there will be people who will give gifts and bring supplies and do something for people that, and they don't want anything back. But when you have the right to take your pound of flesh, when your pride is hurt, and you want to give like for like, when you have wronged someone, and both sides are fighting in the law court, when the law of the land says such and such, and you don't like it, but instead you go the extra mile. When you go the extra mile, something deep down spiritual is going on in your life. Because that's what Jesus would do. And I think those things shock people. I think sometimes they can be like an open door, a door ajar into this kingdom of Christ, which is so different to the kingdom of the world. When you bless others in these ways, it is God who is at work deep down in your heart. And not surprisingly, if this was heard by Jesus' listeners and they found it difficult to bear, then imagine how they felt with these next couple of verses. But you have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and do good to those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. But isn't this the standard for Christianity? This is, you know, I'm not saying you can be a Christian here and if you want to be a really good Christian, you know. This is the standard. This is the standard for Christianity. If we want to follow Christ and to obey, we need to go further and we need to go deeper. And when those times when we have heard a great sermon from a great preacher or we've read a great book all about a deeper work of God in our lives, it is in fact calling for an application in these very simple everyday things. It doesn't mean to be a really deep Christian, that you got to go for a month's retreat somewhere. It doesn't mean you're going to read 10 or 15 chapters of the Bible every single day. That's not what Jesus is saying here. I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying that's not what he's saying here. It's about obedience to Christ in the everyday encounters that we have. Have you had an opportunity recently to go deeper with God? To do more than was expected? It will cost you. I want to tell you it'll cost you your pride. It'll cost you one-upmanship. And it'll cost you a bad conscience, but you're better without those anyway. It'll cost you the very things that will prevent you from having a deep walk with God. And then while we're talking about spiritual dimensions, this last one I think is really important just to conclude on. It also goes higher. You see, the extra mile, it goes further, it goes deeper, it goes higher. It's the highway of holiness. This higher way is the grace that is spoken of so much by the Apostle Paul. This chief of sinners, as he called himself. Chief of sinners. He meant, I'm the worst ever that has ever lived, is what he was saying. Well, he persecuted Christians. He had caused some of them to be put to death, And on one occasion, he was on his way to Damascus to just keep on doing his work of persecuting the Church of Christ. It was fitting then that Peter, of all people, did the sums right, and he concluded quite rightly about Jesus. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. And when he suffered, he made no threats. And instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Now, I want to do something now, and I hope this will help it stick. If it sticks with you, some of the things stuck with me with my Greek teacher 35 years ago, great. I'm going to read in white, and you're going to read the bold print, okay? You got that? You're going to read in yellow and red and blue. When they hurled their insults at him, when he suffered, instead, who judges justly? Who judges justly? I want you to hear this. God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked people of our world. This is what Jesus said. Love your enemies, do good to them that lend to you without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High. And this was the line that really got to me. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. We've got a loving God. And he goes further. And he goes deeper. And he goes higher in Christ. I want you to hear this. God is kind to the most ungrateful and the most wicked people in the world. How else is he going to save the souls of sinners? Of which Paul said, I am the greatest. I'm the greatest sinner, he said. I don't even deserve this. I really don't. But God did save him. It was Timothy Keller who wrote, if I have the smile of God, all other frowns are inconsequential. If God is smiling upon what I do when I go the extra mile, it doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter what they say. They're inconsequential. You may have noticed I've not drawn a conclusion this morning. I've simply just been asking these questions of you. And they are these. How far, how deep, and how high will you go in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ?